Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. This presentation is entitled The Impact of eHealth Empowerment Sessions on Orientation to Health in an Impoverished Community. And our overall umbrella term for our project is the HT Consumer Health Advocate Training and Education Initiative, the eHealth Community Empowerment Online Project. I'll explain why we have so many titles in just a few minutes. I have this faculty disclosure slide. Am I supposed to read this? I wasn't sure. No conflicts. Okay. All right. This just lists the staff and collaborators of this project, and I won't go through all of those. This is our logo. You see a variety of different titles for the project, and that's because we've had a variety of different funding sources, and so along the way we've sort of gotten emotionally tied to the various titles, and we just couldn't let them go, so we haven't quite figured out a way to combine them all, but this is our logo. One slogan is Get the Hookup with HT Health Connection. Those of you who are not familiar with Houston Tillerson University, it's in Austin, Texas. It's a historically black university. It is the oldest institution of higher education in Central Texas. A lot of individuals don't realize it. And yes, it is older than the University of Texas. Okay. Again, that's our logo, our slogan. We work in collaboration with the Austin-Travis County Department of Health and Human Services and Austin-Travis County Mental Health, Mental Retardation, as well as community-based organizations in the city. This is just a picture that depicts our nurse conducting online health education with some clinic nurses who work in the surrounding community, the community that surrounds our university, which is the most impoverished area in Austin, Texas. One goal of our project was to increase HT's capacity as well as this community partner's capacity to serve as a resource and conduit for consumer health access to National Library of Medicine online health information. A second goal was to increase the opportunity for the campus and the surrounding community to improve their access to online health information in the areas that most impact minorities, specifically African Americans and Hispanics, HIV, AIDS, cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes. We also taught online health access pertaining to mental health and stress and mental health and health advocacy and other areas. We included sickle cell anemia because a lot of the many in the community were interested in trying to access information and educate themselves about sickle cell as well, since it is a disease that impacts the African American community to such a great extent, and other communities as well. Any individuals who are descendants of areas where malaria is a threat. We trained, our objective was to train 21 representatives or liaisons, but we really ended up training about 70 or so from the campus and surrounding community, and we certified them based upon their ability to obtain a 95% greater proficiency or greater proficiency rate on competency skills, tests, and exercises over a standardized consumer health advocate. We shorten that to CHAR training curriculum. Another objective was to increase by 100% the support systems that were available for implementation of online health access training and education to the surrounding community. That's our 1-800 line, which we developed as a result of this initiative, and that is our website. We projected that we would change skills and skills competencies of at least 700 participants at the level of a 30% greater increase. Using this standardized curriculum, and we also we used pre-post to measure that, and we also conducted a 2 to 3 month follow-up survey to assess change. And we compared these findings with a group that was on our waiting list, which did not receive the education, but who we were able to continue to collect data on and follow up. Okay. This is a depiction of the flow of our project. I know you can't read that. But what we did was recruit liaisons from different organizations throughout the campus and the community. So someone from the library, for instance, was a liaison who attended our Train the Trainers. Someone from the health center, for example. Someone from churches in the surrounding community. An individual from community-based organizations. An individual from health clinics, and so on and so forth. And so those individuals signed up to participate in our Train the Trainer course. So that was the first step in the project. Through the Train the Trainer workshops, we trained and certified these liaisons to be what we call consumer health advocates, or CHAs for short. We trained them to access e-health knowledge and skill. We trained them with e-health knowledge and skills and the ability to access and navigate. We focused on the National Library of Medicine's Medline Plus website. And so we trained them to transfer this information to individuals at their particular organizations in the campus and the community. So someone from, say, a church who was the liaison for that church, who might have been with their health ministry, came to our training. And we educated them in e-health knowledge and skills access, and they then would turn around and conduct sessions at their church, at their health ministries, for instance, or someone from a clinic would get the training, and they would take it back to their site and transfer the information to that site. And the same was done with various entities on the campus. The Train the Trainer curriculum consisted of raising their awareness about health disparities, using epidemiological data and explaining it. We talked about why we were focusing on the National Library of Medicine. We incorporated a module that addressed cultural sensitivity and appropriateness in the delivery of their educations to their sites and to the community. We focused on teaching them how to access information on the areas which I mentioned before. And in particular, we show them how to access basic information, such as signs and symptoms of these various diseases, how to manage them, how to prevent them. We showed them how to access information on clinical trials. Many of the sites use tutorials for individuals who are not very literate. We taught them how to access information on patient advocacy and rights, we taught them how to access resources from these sites, Medicare, Medicaid, TANF, et cetera. We educated them about the benefits of being able to access this information, being an informed, proactive health consumer, for instance. We talked about, again, I'll go back up to point number two, why the National Library of Medicine. It is credible, reputable, it's current, it's updated nightly, it's reviewed to ensure its credibility. Down at the bottom, you see where I talk about free internet access. We educated our trainers about the fact that individuals can access the internet free all over the community and the city, and a lot of individuals don't realize that. In any library, you can go in there and you can get on the internet. You don't have to have an account or anything, and you can access the National Library of Medicine's Medline Plus. So these were the major points that we addressed in our Train the Trainer curriculum. as just an example of some of the areas that we focused on in our training, many individuals still in 2008 don't realize that health disparities exist or even what a health disparity is. In one of my classes, the biopsychosocial aspects of racial disparities in health, which I teach, my students as a class project conducted focus groups in impoverished areas in the surrounding area of Austin, Texas. And many individuals in our focus groups indicated that they didn't know what a disparity was. They didn't realize that African Americans or even Hispanics were health disparate. So we had to kind of break down the terminology and just talk about what is a disparity. Basically, it's an inequality, differences that exist across health disorders. We talked about, again, as how we use the Office of Minority Health sites and talked about how communities of color are disproportionately impacted, as I indicated. This is still along the lines of raising awareness about the disparities in our training. We also accessed information from the unequal treatment, the Institute of Medicine, IOM, report, which is rather infamous, which pretty much addresses why the disparities exist. So we accessed information from this report, and often individuals become, I have found that when we conduct some of these sessions, individuals become a little bit threatened about the statistics, so it's important to then follow that up with, well, why do these disparities exist, so that individuals won't engage in sort of blame the victim mentality. So we do incorporate that into the training, the findings from this report. We show, and I won't go through these statistics, but the purpose of showing you these statistics is that we show them how they can access these statistics and this data off various sites online. And so idea is to empower them with the ability to create their own slides and their own PowerPoints for the presentations that they turn around and give to their constituents. So we just show some examples of some of the data and how to access it. And here's diabetes is one. We show them how to access the information on HIV/AIDS, which is very telling. And often what we get is from the audience is, can we have your statistics? So we try to impress them with the fact that we're empowering them with their ability to access themselves. And so I just have a statement here from a very well-known individual in the area of public health, James Brown. So we just open the door so you can go in and get it yourself. And yes, we can, and we know what that is. Where that comes from, I want to say. Okay. We use a step-by-step curriculum guide in training them how to access the information from the National Library of Medicine so that they can then turn around and transfer those skills to others. And again, our focus is community participatory and empowering them to go out and give these presentations to others, this education to others. This is just an example of the step-by-step approach we use to try to show them how they can then transfer this information and educate their constituents. I won't go through each step, but that's just a step-by-step breakdown of how you access the information. So we go through that with them, and they're actually on the computer. It's a hands-on training where they actually are accessing this step-by-step along the way. We also give them a sample educational session that they can turn around and use at their different organizations, at their churches, at their clubs. We've had women's clubs send a liaison to come and get the training. So we give them a sample agenda that they can use at their sites. And so it's really sort of a mini educational session derived from the training that we give them, which is more of a, it's the training that we give them is like 6 to 7 hours, but the education that they then turn around and pass on to their constituents is about 20 to 30, maybe 45 minutes. So it's a condensed version of the training that we give them. How do we certify them? How do we evaluate them? They actually have to get up and do a mock session, and we rate them using, we rate them using an observational rating scale, and we use a written test. And then they, in turn, have to go out and do what we call a co-hosting. And we sort of hold their hands when they go back and do their first session. We're there as backup because usually they're a little bit nervous about giving that first educational session. So our staff's there to kind of hold their hands, but we tell them we won't be back. You have to fly solo after that. And then they get certified. So we do kind of, it's kind of rigorous because we wanted to get away from individuals just coming to get our training and just to get a certificate to put up on the wall, because we really wanted this information to be disseminated out into the community. So we really wanted to attract people who are really serious about this effort. How do we rate them? We rate them in terms of whether or not they adequately covered the content, was it accurate in terms of its order of presentation, and as well as content, was it understandable, and we rate them in terms of their facilitation skills. This is a breakdown of the individuals and in terms of their occupations who we have trained and certified to date. So we've certified quite a bit of students because this project does originate from Houston-Tilson University, and they then go out to the community and conduct educations with community groups. We've trained administrators, we've trained nurses, social workers and case managers, AIDS workers, church liaisons, community-based organizations, parent support liaisons, NAACP, and others. And again, those individuals, and I've shown this slide before then, the idea is it's kind of like an octopus. They then, their tentacles then go out into the community and disseminate this information to others. So that's a general idea. We did use a convenience sample. We evaluated it using pre-posts and a 2 to 3 month follow-up. And we did use a comparison group of individuals who could not get the education at the time that we provided it. We found that over 90% of the individuals had never heard of the National Library of Medicine or Medline Plus, which we found to be amazing because it is the world's largest biomedical database and it's free and it's accessible to everyone, but most of those we educated had never heard of it. Some of the very few who had heard of it said that they had used it they appreciated the education because they did not have an understanding of the depth of the information. We often get from students, well, why do you need this standardized training? All you have to do is just go in there and push a lot of buttons and, you know, you get the information that you need. But it's really a wealth of information. It's very rich. It's very detailed. And it does help a lot to go through a standardized training, or else you'll miss a lot of the good information that's in there. So most individuals realize that after they take the training. It opens up a lot of other databases that they weren't aware of and information that they weren't aware of. The pre-post that we used assessed knowledge, benefits of using, skills, intent to use, knowledge of free internet access, feelings of susceptibility to health, health knowledge, health empowerment, motivation to change health. And for the follow-up, we also looked at, we added use in addition to that. For the workshops, we evaluated them in terms of satisfaction, preparedness of the instructors, and whether or not they were aware of the workshop's purpose. So the workshop trainings got fairly strong ratings. We found pretty significant pre-post changes in the community sessions in terms of enhanced susceptibility or awareness about racial disparities in health, increased knowledge about health, because our sessions did a little bit more than just train them to access health information. We did talk about the health disparities as well. It showed increased benefits in terms of their awareness of the benefits of being able to access online information, enhanced skills in accessing online health information, knowledge of places where they can access the internet free, increased intents to use the sites, increase in health empowerment to change health, knowledge about health, and increased motivation to change health from pre-test to post-test. Okay, I have 5 minutes. So. And in terms of the differences between the education group and the no education group, we did find significant differences between those who significant change scores between those who received the education versus those who did not receive the education. The race ethnic breakdown was as follows. It was predominantly African American. Other findings, we trained over 100 individuals or liaisons as community health advocates. Those individuals in turn educated over 1,000 consumers. We've had 10,000 hits on our website. Our institution is now, and our partners are now recognized as a viable resource and conduit and support system for the underserved community and training it with regard to e-health access online information. The diversity of the outreach was, I think, pretty tremendous. We have reached medical residents, health ministries, parent and neighborhood meetings. Sessions were conducted there, senior citizens, prisoners. I won't go through all of these, but there were the diversity of those who we reached was quite significant. This is just a picture showing some of our students conducting an online health access educational session with our alumni chapter, and you really have to kind of contain those ladies or they'll talk forever about the arthritis and and the high blood pressure medication, and we were finding it was very difficult to get through the entire session because they'll take the whole time up talking about their high blood pressure medication, and which is okay. And how do you research that, and how do you find out more information about that? We gave everyone Get the Hookup T-shirts, so there are our individuals from our alumni chapter holding up their Get the Hookup T-shirts. We also educated youth, and there are some youth who are holding their T-shirts up. There's some youth again being showing them getting the education. This was conducted our. I'm almost through. This was conducted at our Central Texas African American Family Support Conference, which is only one of maybe two or three that I'm aware of in the whole United States that exists. So in Austin, every February, we have the Central Texas African American Family Support Conference, and the Board of Trustees there has designated our online health access informational session as to be a regular part of their program, and it's the only workshop that has achieved such status, so we're real proud about that. Unanticipated findings, many individuals turned around and transferred the information, not within a workshop setting, to 3 to 5 other individuals, and we found that out through some of the follow-up, because we're following the people who we've educated, we're following them up and periodically and administering surveys, and they indicated showing 3 to 5 other individuals. So when you multiply that times the individuals, the primary individuals, you come up with maybe over 5,000 potential other individuals being reached with this information. There's been the need to express to educate physicians, as many of those in the community feel like this is something that physicians need to be educated on. Sustainability, we were just successful in attaining. I have 1 minute to go. I'll be through in 1 minute. Okay. We've just received success in attaining CEU accreditation, so that'll be a big draw for physicians, nurses, psychologists, and social workers. And so we just finished our first session where we could award CEUs, and so we feel like this is one way that we can sustain our efforts once grant funding expires. Conclusion, in the short term, it looks like the pre-post results were strong. At 2 to 3 month follow-up, greater than 60% in the education group compared to less than 7% in the comparison group reported positive changes in accessing online health information, intention to access or to continue to access the information, empowerment, knowledge, and motivation pertaining to health, as well as changing behavior. How did they change? I just have one more slide after this. How did they change their behavior? Many of them indicated that they changed their diet. They improved their diet. They started exercising more. They changed their lifestyle in general. They became more informed. And then there was a group that just didn't specify exactly how they changed their health, but they said that they changed it. For those who did not use it, they gave us the following information. They didn't think there was any need. So there's always that group that you can't reach. They said they didn't have access. They weren't listening. They said they didn't have access to their internet. They said they needed help. And we do provide help through our 1-800 line. They weren't listening again. They said they didn't have time. Some of them said they didn't find it helpful. Some of them said they were too ill to use it. Some of the others said that they used other databases. Again, they weren't listening very well. WebMD can't shake a stick to hold a candle to the National Library of Medicine's databases, because it's just, as I said, the largest biomedical database in the world. You can spend the rest of your life in that database. Let's see, in closing, we had one individual who sort of seen, and we started noticing that every time we would go around the community and co-facilitate sessions or co-host sessions, we'd see the same individual. Or when we do trainings, train the trainers, we'd see the same individual coming back over and over again. So we said, you know, we can't use your data because you keep coming back and it would bias our results. And so after we saw him for the third or fourth time, we said, we wonder why you keep coming back to get this. And he said, because the information that you all gave me the first time changed my life. So thank you.
I just want to thank Dr. Murphy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm going to reintroduce